Okay, so in not so long, we are going to, amazingly enough, we are going to have Pesach. I know that seems like an eternity and three quarantines away, but but whatever. But that is happening in a few weeks. And on the second day of Pesach, we will start which mitzvah?
The counting
of the Omer. Very good. Thank you. This was not a trick question. You knew what you were preparing. Good. So I figure these sugyot of the Omer are the topic of the sixth parak, as we've noted. So I want to start with it. But the by far the strangest thing of it, I really do like how you can get your distance outside here with it.
I love this.
It is nice. So if you look, open up to Perek Chav Gimel in Vayikra, Pasuk Tet. You got it, Noah? Noah?
Yeah.
Got it? Perek Chav Gimel. I know there's like a long distance, but whatever. Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Tet. What? Should I move a little bit closer?
My voice
is loud. It's okay. Anyways, so the psukim say as follows: Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe lemor. God tells Moshe, "Daber al bnei Yisrael, amarta lehem ki tavo el haaretz asher ni noten lachem uktartem ekitzira vaveitem et omer reishit ktirchem el akohen." So once you get to Eretz Yisrael, there will be this korban called the korban haomer. Ve'inif et omer lefnei Adonai lezonchem. Mimacharat haShabbat inifenu haKohen. So when does it happen? Right, when do you bring this karban? So mimacharat haShabbat. Vasitem biyom anivchem et haOmer keves tamim ben shnato leolah ladonai uminchato shnei esrei nimsolet bilav haShemen ishei ladonai reach nichalach v'nisko yain revi tahin. And that same day you bring other karban out. You bring an animal, and the karban omer itself is a mincha, is a flower offering, mixed with oil, like everything else. And one of the prohibitions that comes with it is that until you bring the omer, and we'll talk about this later, eventually, in the perek, I hope, I really do hope. Hello, Gavi, we just started.
Oh, we just started,
yeah. V'lechem v'kaliv v'charmel lo tochlu ad etzem ayom hazad aviyachem et korban aleichem chukat olam l'dorotechem v'chomosh v'odeichem. Until you bring the korban haomer, you're not allowed to eat any new grain. And we'll see in the Gemara there's a machloket, what happens when you don't have the korban. So what day does it happen? On the 16th, on the 17th? But this is the prohibition we know as I've mentioned before, the prohibition of chadash. Right? Chadash. You ever? Yes, very good. So if you ever go to a restaurant or a bakery in America, it'll sometimes say Yashon. Kemach Yashon, right? Y-O-S-H-O-N. Yashon, right? Yashon. Now, what does that mean? So something we'll hopefully get to, and again, everything is up in the air these days, but hopefully we'll get to eventually. The halacha is as follows. If you know in Eretz Yisrael that the grain that you have took root after the Karban HaOmer, or the 16th of Nisan, let's say, so it is forbidden mid'oraita until the next year.
Yeah.
In Chutz La'aretz,
so do we explain to harvest or to eat?
To eat.
Yes.
I mean, also, well, we'll see about that. But for the moment, let's focus on eating. There are multiple prohibitions. Both relating to harvesting and to eating. We'll get to them. But for the moment, let's just focus on eating. So what's the halacha? You're not allowed to eat it. What about in Chutz La'aretz? So in Chutz La'aretz, as we'll see, there's a machloket. Some people say that it doesn't apply at all in Chutz La'aretz. That's a minority view. Others say it does in theory, but if there's a doubt, so then you can be makil, right? You can be leaning in a doubt. It's a bit complicated. We're going to have to come back to it. But this is the halacha. Okay, now, on that same day, what other mitzvah takes place? I just said the Omer. Which Omer? Svirat HaOmer, right? The counting. The counting of the Omer. Usfartem lachem imacharat haShabbat, Miyom haviyachem et omer hatnufa sheva shabbatot mimot tiyana. From the day that you bring the karbana omer, and as I mentioned, based on this pasuk, what do we need to ask? The machlokes rishonim, which is whether counting the omer nowadays is biblical or not, because there is no karbana omer, meaning, does the counting of the omer depend on the bringing of the korban? So you count 7 weeks. Ad mimacharan ha-shabbat ha-shvi'it tisperu 50 yom. V'kraftem mincha chadasha l'Adonai. Mimoshoteichem taviu lechem tnufa shtayim shenzunim solet. Tiyena chametz yafen ha-bikurim l'Adonai, etc. So here's what I want to figure out. The Gemara devotes a tremendous amount of space to the following question. What does mimacharat ha-shabbat mean? So, Noah, before we look at the complicated Gemara, Rashi gives you a one-line summary. In the mind of Chazal, what is mimacharat ha-shabbat? What day do we bring the Karban ha-omer? What day do we count Sfira ha-omer? What day is that? Read me Rashi, Noah. On Pasuk Yud Aleph, mimacharat Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. It doesn't mean Shabbat, what we call in Halakha, Shabbat Breshit. Right? Shabbat normally means what we refer to as Shabbat Breshit. What's Shabbat Breshit?
The seventh day of the week.
Seventh day of the week, Saturday. Shabbat. What we know is Shabbat. Rather, it means the first day of Yom Tov. And what's Rashi quotes one proof. What's Rashi's one proof? She'im ata omer Shabbat Breshit, I ata yodea ezehu. If I asked you, but Rashi picks up on one methodological problem. What tipped off Chazal that Shabbat here did not mean Saturday?
Because if it is, then you wouldn't know which.
Correct. One. Because what Shabbat? Mimacharat ha-Shabbat. The Shabbat. Which Shabbat? Right, which Shabbat? What are you talking about? What's the context of Shabbat? And therefore, Chazal said it must not mean Shabbat. It must be a day which is similar to Shabbat. Namely, Yom Tov. And then, what's the Yom Tov we're talking about? Well, we were just talking about Pesach. So, what it means is, after the first day of Shabbat, first day of Pesach, that's when we start it. Meaning the 16th of Nisan. What's the problem? Right? What's the problem?
Why are we calling it Shabbat?
Good, right? The simple problem that Chazal have to deal with is why then does it call it Shabbat? Say mimacharat yom harishon. And you want to answer up Rashi's question? Answer up Rashi's question. Tell me. Give me another possibility. Rashi says, how do I know what Shabbat? So you give me an answer.
You're going in chronological order.
Good, so what could it mean?
And then it's the first Shabbat after Pesach.
Good, right? It could just mean the first Shabbat after Pesach. Right, this first Sunday after Pesach. Mimacharat, ha-Shabbat, which Shabbat?
The one after Pesach.
You know how, like, everybody knows, right? If I told you, Shabbat, Pesach ends on Wednesday. Okay? And I said, and the next question I asked you was, oh, and when does Zman start again? And I said, after Shabbos. Would any of you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
100%. Shabbos ends on Wednesday. Pesach ends on Wednesday. When I say, you say, the next question is, oh, and when does Pesach break end? And I say, after Shabbos, you would know it meant the day after the Shabbos, after Pesach. Right? That's what it would mean. So there is an answer to the question theoretically, Mimacharat HaShabbat, how do I know? So here's what I want to do. First I want to go through the Gemara, because the Gemara has, well, we can do this two ways. We can either, you tell me how you want to do it. We can either go through the Gemara and start with its proofs and try to understand what the Gemara is really getting at. How does the Gemara know that Shabbat means Pesach? Or we can go through the possibilities that are rejected by Chazal. Right, meaning Chazal reject one, but there really were many different possibilities that were offered over the years by non-rabbinic groups, from the Baitusim in the time of the Gemara, to Okay. Right, from the Baitusim and then the Gemara to the Karaites later. So which do you want to do first? Do you want to do Chazal first? Or do you want to see what the other possibilities were that they were rejecting? Which one do you want to do first? Masha Balachem.
I could do either first.
Chazal are consistent. Chazal think, right, the rabbinic position as we know, is that the Omer starts, and we bring the Karban Omer on the day after the first day of Pesach. So we can either go through the Gemara and try to understand how the Gemara proved this, or we can start by seeing the positions that were not accepted by the rabbinic tradition, who in fact embraced other interpretations and understand how we get to ours by contrast. So which do you want to do first?
Because right now we can see the interpretations tomorrow within the Gemara.
So now I have one and one. One I don't care, one it's...
Whatever you like, Kevin.
Okay, fine. Let's hold off on the Gemara, and we get to the Gemara, we'll get to it, okay? Because the Gemara is going to have 8 different proofs or something like that. I think it's 8. Should we wait for you while you're bringing that down? What? Okay. So Chazal themselves, right, tell you that what day was it? Right, how did they read it? Mimacharat Shabbat. Right. So the Gemara is in constant conflict. Who are their interlocutors? Who is the Gemara polemicizing against constantly? Not the Tzedukim, the Baitusim. In this case, the Baitusim. Okay, in this case, it's the Baitusim. But, fine. Meaning, the Baitusim. Okay? The English Bohithians. Bohithians. Bohithians, I think. Is how you say it in English. And the Gemara at least assumes, let's look for a moment just at what the Gemara quotes in their names. So if you go to the Gemara and Daf Samechei, so the Gemara says, the Gemara says as follows. So I look at the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah said that our whole goal, we do a lot of things. So look at the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah said, you know, let's at least see the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells you on Samach Hamad Aleph, go to the Mishnah. Start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ketzad hein osin shluchei bedzin." How did the messengers of the courts prepare for the ktirat haomer, for the cutting of the omer? When did you do the cutting of the omer? The night before the bringing of the omer, meaning motzai yontif. Okay. Me'erav yom tov, they would send bezins erav yom tov. Osin otan krichot b'mechubar lekarkan. They would get it all ready. They'd wrap it up. Kadeshi Nach Liktor, so that it would be ready to be cut. Kol ha'ayarot ha'smuchot, l'sham mitkansot l'sham, Kadeshi Nikzar b'Eseh Gadol. And all the surrounding cities would get together and make a huge deal about the cutting of the Omer. Kevan Shech Shicha, once it gets dark, what would they do? Omer Lahen ba'Shemesh. They would say, has the sun set? And what would they say? Omer? Hain! Yes! And then they would do it a second time. Ba'Shemesh! Has the sun set? Omer? Hain! They said, yes! Magel Zu? Should we use this scythe? Omer? Hain! They would say, yes! Here, let's do this back and forth, okay? Yosef, I'm going to ask the question. Each time, just say Hain. Okay? Magel Zu? Hain, right? This scythe? Yes. Kupazoo. Hain. This box? Yeah. Gavi, Kupazoo?
Hain.
Yes. Bishabbat. When it was Shabbat, Omerland, Shabbat Zoo? This Shabbos, Omer?
Hain.
Shabbat Zoo, Omer? Hain. Ektor? Should I cut? The Hain Omerim Lo? Ktor. No. This time it's cut. Ktor. Cut. How you doing? Ektor, should I cut? Vehem omrim lo? Ktor. We'll catch you up. Don't worry. Shalosh ba'amim al kol darvar v'darvar. Each of these, we didn't just do two times, we did three times. Vehem omrim lo, hein. And they would do yes. Kol kach lama. So the Gemara says, what the heck, right? Why? Mipnei ha'baitusim shayu omrim en ksira omer b'motzai yantif. To be hotzi miliban from the baitusim who said that this is the wrong date. And if you look at Rashi, Rashi tells you, Sha'omrim enktir omer motzei yom tov el motzei Shabbat. Because the Baitusin thought it happened on Shabbat, the day after Shabbat, meaning Sunday, l'fichach ha'kotrin magbihin kolan. So just to prove it, everyone would be yelling and screaming and doing it publicly. Kidei shishmu baitusin l'hosimi vilan. So everyone, everywhere would hear. All the Baitusin would hear. They know that they were wrong.
But they still do that if first day of Yontif was Shabbos.
Oh, we'll get to that. So Daniel, so let's catch you up here, right? So we have two mitzvot that happen mimacharat Shabbat. One is the cutting of the Karban HaOmer and the bringing of the Karban HaOmer. You cut it at night and you bring it during the day. And the second is Sfirat HaOmer, both starting same day, 16th of Nisan. The pasuk calls it mimacharat haShabbat. The day after Shabbat. And Chazal, right, the rabbinic tradition, assumes Chad Mashmai, that means not the day after what we call Shabbat normally, meaning not on Sunday, but on the day after the first day of Yontif, which is Shabbos-like. So what we need to do is try to understand how we got here. Now the first thing to do before we understand how we got here is to recognize that even though Chazal are convinced of this, not everyone is. And so much so are people not convinced that in order to make sure that the rabbinic tradition is very publicized, so what did we do? As we just did, we did this whole play. Right? They'd bring all the cities in, they'd scream at the top of their lungs, and every single stage they would have a whole production, right? Should I cut? Cut! With this knife, with this scythe. With this basket, three times each. Yes, screaming at the top of their lungs to prove to the whole world that we believe that the right time to bring the Omer, to count the Omer, is Mimacharat HaPesach, on the 16th day of Nisan and not on Shabbat. But that only tells you, not the Karaites, but the Baitusim. We'll see that the Karaites eventually. So, okay, good. So what's the difference? This is important. The Baitusim are a non-rabbinic sect in the rabbinic period. Meaning, our tradition, the tradition of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay, back up. This is important, okay? This Gemara is not so much lamdos, but this is very important for like emunah and bitachon and nature of chazal and all that stuff. And it's a whole amud in the Gemara, so we do need to spend time on it. So here, okay? In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, Nagid, okay? There are many, many, many Jewish sects. I think we've mentioned this. What sect eventually morphs into the rabbinic, what we know as the rabbinic track? They refer to as the Prushim, or in English, the Pharisees. The Pharisees. What other groups exist? So there are the main interlocutors of Chazal, or two rabbinic groups, who don't believe in the rabbinic traditions. Those are the Tzdukim and the Baitusim, the Sadducees and the Boethians. I don't know. How do you pronounce it? Baitusim. Okay, there are others. So, for example, there are the early Christians. Right, the early Christians existed this time. And Chazal are polemicizing against them. They sometimes called Minim, Stam Min. Sometimes they're called Talmidei Yeshu in some of the non-censored texts, right? The students of Jesus. There are others. Who else are there? There's the Essenes. There's whatever sect existed at Qumran. Right, we mentioned this. Right? The crazy things going on at Qumran. The sons of light, the sons of darkness. All those stuff. Now, trivia question for you. In general, what was the approach of many of these groups to halakha as compared to the rabbis or the prushim? They're more stringent, very good. Right, they're more stringent. And that's why when sometimes you hear sort of modern people post-reform comparing the Reform Judaism to a sect which broke off, it's not exactly accurate when they compare it to these ancient groups, because these ancient groups tended to be more machmir. They tended to be much more stringent than the rabbis. Who are the tzdukim? Sorry, not the tzdukim. Who are they? Karaim, who are the Karaites? They are a medieval group. They are a medieval group. Now, sometimes you'll find that people will confuse them, because the Karaites, fundamentally, mostly, what is their opposition to rabbinic tradition?
Authority.
Authority, period. The notion that any person has the right to interpret text for other people, even though they do have their authorities. In the Christian world, what is the phrase that became part of the Protestant tradition that is essentially Karaite in that sense? Sola Scriptura. Because in the Catholic world, who has the right to interpret Scripture?
The Pope.
Which we call... Thank you. And what is that principle called? Right, papal infallibility. Right, that what the Pope says is right by definition. He's infallible. Right, he gets to define Scripture. But one of the central theses of the Protestant Reformation was sola scriptura. Was that you have to approach what sola scriptura mean? I know it's Latin, but it's not so complicated. Sola is the same as the English word soul, soli, which means only scriptura, the script, the text. So the Karaites, the Karaim, are a medieval group. This is not the same group as Chazal, these are medieval. Who basically follow sola scriptura. Not exactly, but okay, let's for the moment, let's say mostly. The early groups that Chazal are talking about, not necessarily, they may believe in authority, just not the rabbinic authority. And remember, it's important to remember that some of the early sectarian groups, do they think that the rabbis, some of them think that the rabbis have the wrong traditions. Some of them think that the rabbis have the right traditions, but you shouldn't follow them because they are evil. Who thought that? The early Christians. A lot of the early Christian texts say, listen to the Pharisees because they have the traditions. They're just hypocrites. Right? So a lot of the early Christians, Dafka, did believe in the rabbinic tradition. They just didn't like the rabbis. Which is why those people were harder and were more integrated into the community sometimes.
So how did they pass it on?
Who?
The ones that went solely on the Torah.
So they mostly, their own interpretation, though eventually they do have some notion of authority. It's a bit complicated. And again, the only of these groups that really exists nowadays are the Karaites. Karaites do exist, as do the Shomronim. Right, the Samaritans also exist. Right, there's a small group of both of these. Right, the Samaritans still bring their Korban Pesach every year. You can go on Har Grizim. I believe it's Har Grizim. That they still bring it every year, but not on the date that we do, because they don't trust our calendar.
Right.
It's not in our Pesach.
They go from the
I forget exactly how it works, what day they do it on. And there is a group of Karaites. I told you, I have a cousin who's married to a Karaite. That was how I was like, oh, they really do exist. What?
In Israel,
yeah. Yeah, I have a cousin who's married to a Karaite. I mean, she's Chiloni, from a like traditional Sephardi family, and he's Chiloni from a Karaite family. So the difference by the end, I don't know. Like, the difference between Chiloni rabbinate and chiloni. Karaite is not like... Lokas Anak. It's not like they're both, you know, Haredi rabbinate and Haredi Karaite. That would be a problem. In the medieval period, though, remember, the rabbis are constantly yelling, don't marry Karaites, stay away from Karaites, don't marry Karaites. What does that tell you people are doing?
Marrying
Karaites, thank you. How do we know that it's actually happening?
You just told us that.
Good, but there's another way. In the Cairo Geniza, what did we find? Ketubot. And what does it say in the Ketubah? Part of the conditions are, we'll follow the chumras of the Karaites for Shabbat, and the chumrah of the Karaites for Nida, and we'll keep the rabbinate chumras of this so that we can all get along. And they wrote it in the Ketubah, into the Ketubah. Like, mamish, we know this happened. Okay.
Still in the Ketubah?
What?
Like, it's in the Ketubah.
They're in the, we have their Ketubah from the Cairo Geniza.
He means nowadays, like in your cousin's case. They,
oh, no. I'm saying, like, I'm all. If you go and you look at the Cairo Geniza and you look at the Ketubah from hundreds of years ago, you'll see it. Nowadays, I don't know. There aren't so many. There's only several tens of thousands of them. Not a...
Oh, only.
What?
Oh, only.
Like 30,000 or something. That's not a lot in the whole world. That's like...
That's one community.
But yeah, that means you could fill up a third of Modi'in, maybe, with all the Karaites in the world. It's not a lot. That's less than Sharon. Come on, man. Like, how many people live in Sharon? More than 30,000. Maybe not. I don't know that.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yeah, you could fit them basically in Madison Square Garden.
You could fit 100,000.
No, Madison Square Garden is not 100,000. Not Pico. No, that's why they moved the CMI shops to the football stadiums. Madison Square Garden is more like 30,000, 50,000 maybe. It's not 100,000. The football stadiums are 100,000. The outdoor ones. Okay, good. But what you see from this Mishnah is that it was a very live tradition, right? This wasn't just like a theoretical possibility. The Chazal are going out of their way, and we'll see throughout the Perek that this is not the only thing they do, but they make a whole production to tell people it's not, it is the 16th of Nisan, it's not, the Shabbos after Pesach. But that means that people really did believe this, and Chazal felt a need to respond. So, let's see what they're responding to. So, the particular position of the Baitusim seems to have been what day? Right, what day? So let's go through the possibilities, not Chazal. Before we get to Chazal, let's talk through some of the possibilities. The Baitusim themselves thought that what day was the Omer? The day after?
Shabbos after Pesach.
The day after the Shabbos after Pesach. Now, I want to just point something out. Are the Baitusim part of the same community as the Rabbinate Jews?
Yes,
prove it to me. Besides the fact that clearly they're going out of their way to be motzi. But tell me, give me a better proof. How integrated are they? We know this in Yoma because they're doing different things in the Beit HaMikdash. But give me, what much better known Mishnah than this Mishnah do you know that tells me that they are part of the community? That they care about the community. They aren't completely separate. Come on, tell me. That's much later. That's the Karaites. Come on. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. What does the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tell you? The Mishnah tells you that originally, how would they know when Pesach, how would they know when Rosh Chodesh was? The witnesses would come to court. And then what would the court do? Declare Rosh Chodesh. And how would they tell everybody it was Rosh Chodesh?
The fires on the mountaintops.
The scene from Lord of the Rings. The lighting of the beacons. You all know the scene. Please tell me you all know the lighting of the beacon scene in Lord of the Rings.
Not Lord of the Rings, just know the concept of lighting the mountains.
No? Okay, so afterwards, look up on YouTube, the lighting of the beacons, Lord of the Rings, and if you want to understand what it is, you'll see what it is. And it's very, very quick, because it goes from mountaintop to mountaintop.
Oh, okay, fine, yeah.
You know that scene.
No, I don't know the scene, but
first. Good, well, good, but you have to see the scene. It's a great scene. It's amazing. This is objective, okay? You have to see it. We know this. I don't know how many times I have to say this. See,
hey,
Lord of the Rings.
Debbie, what makes it objective?
Because I said so. Right? Anyways, the lighting of the beacons, okay?
Answer.
So how long did it take to spread messages by lighting beacons? Not so long, because it goes from mountaintop to mountaintop. Right? Meaning I can see from my house, right? If you go, you can see Pachor Yotei, you can see Yerushalayim. Right? So you can, and Israel's not so big. You could do it in a matter of minutes. An hour, maybe. Right? You light the fire, they see the fire, they buy the next one. What happened? Eventually, we switched over to messengers on a horseback. Why? Or camelback, or whatever.
Because
donkeyback.
The Baitusim would try to mess it up.
Baitusim would try to mess it up. Why would they try to mess it up? Do you remember why?
They didn't believe in the Sanhedrin.
So why would they want to mess up what the Sanhedrin are doing? Just out of spite?
Because they have a different system.
What did they want to bring about? What was their end goal? For Pesach to fall out on Shabbos.
Oh.
Because this way, everyone would agree on the day. Because they thought it was the first, it was the day after the Sunday after the first day of Pesach. Now, by the way, there's another option. We're going to see. But they thought it was the Sunday after Yom Tov. It's like Election Day, right? It's the third Tuesday, it's whatever, it's like, or Thanksgiving, right? It's what it is, like the fourth Thursday after the fourth Wednesday or something, or the fourth Monday or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not just the fourth Thursday, because if it starts on a, if the month starts on a Thursday, then it's not the fourth Thursday, it's the fourth Thursday after the fourth Monday or something like that. Right? So that's how they read it. It's the day after the Shabbos, after the first day of Pesach, which means the day after Shabbos, Chol Hamoed, Pesach. So they wanted to do was that make Pesach fall out on Shabbos, and then what? Everyone agrees that what's the day to bring the Omer? Sunday. Because that's the day after the Shabbos of Pesach. So they were trying to mess up the calendar so that eventually they'd get it to. But why do they care? They care because they're still part of the community. If they follow their own, so then they have a different calendar. But if they can manipulate the system, then they'll end up that all Jews are following what they think is the right interpretation. And that's why we couldn't, because it's very easy to mess up the lighting of the beacons, which is also why it's important to see that scene, because that's the whole point. Right? Because the, if you remember that scene, the steward of Gondor, Denethor, doesn't want...
The more detail you add, the more confusing it is.
The steward of Gondor has been... His mind has been polluted by Sauron. He doesn't want to seek help because he's already given up. So therefore, Gandalf has to convince the hobbits to light the beacons to set in motion the... Right, the unity of the battles of men against the forces of Gondor, but he did it without permission of the steward of Gondor. That's the point. That's the point of that whole scene. Right? That's literally the point of the whole scene. He has to sneak up. Okay, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter, but
what's the stop them from doing
not as much as this matters.
What's to stop them from sabotaging the horseback also?
Because you would have messengers who were known. You'd go to the Beit Din and you knew the messengers, right? You would know. This wasn't random people. You would set up people that were trusted.
You could do that with beacon lighters.
No, they can't. How are you supposed to know?
Anyone can go up and just light a fire.
Why? Yeah, that's the... Well, there's the issue. You don't
that's the point, and that's what they would do.
You don't guard the beacon and then force the light.
So would he just stay up there the whole time with a gun over the beacon? Like, you know...
Well, someone's going to stay up there the whole time, because otherwise how are you going to know when the last guy...
Because you know it's not true in the 15th of the month, right? There's only a very short range in which it could be. There's 2 days when Rosh Chodesh could be, so they go up then.
So those range of 2 days, they would go up.
Okay, well, they didn't work. People were messing it up.
Yeah.
But they do it on the mountain next to it, and you didn't realize. You're going to guard every mountain that might be confused. Okay. So the Gemara says... That's why we moved to messengers. So you see, they're still part of the community, and that's why they're yelling and screaming and convincing them. But before we get to the how the rabbis know what they know, what were the other possibilities? So good. Mimacharat HaShabbat. Again, we know Chazal's conclusion. Chazal's conclusion is it's going to be the day after the first day of Pesach. But what other logical possibilities exist? Okay, let's try to understand what Chazal are rejecting. So first, the Baitusim. The Baitusim's interpretation is Mimacharat HaShabbat. They think the word Shabbat is Shabbat Breshid, what we call Shabbat. And which Shabbat do they think it is?
The one after Pesach.
No. The one after the first day of Pesach. Meaning, Chol HaMoed. Or alternatively, if the first day is Shabbos, then after the first day. Okay? That's what the Baitusim think. Now, what drives their interpretive tradition? Right? What drives it? Their conviction that what? Why do they think Mimachar HaShabbat always means Sunday? That's easy, because they think Shabbat means Shabbat. Why do they think that the Shabbat in question is the one after the first day of Pesach? Because context is, we're talking about Pesach. That's it. What other possibility might you have had?
The day after the Shabbos.
Very good. Bacharon. Right? You could have maintained both interpretations, meaning Shabbat means Shabbat, and therefore Mimacharana Shabbat means Sunday. And in context, we know that the Shabbat in question is a Shabbat that has to do with Pesach, but not necessarily the Shabbat of or after the first day of Pesach. It could have been the Shabbat of or after
Yom Tov Acharon.
The last day of Pesach. Right? Yom Tov Acharon. Because remember, Yom Tov Acharon, unlike Sukkot, Pesach has a Yom Tov Acharon. Sukkot doesn't. Right? Sukkot, how many days of biblical Yom Tov with an Isra Malacha are there on Sukkot? How many?
One.
Shemini Atzeret is
a separate
holiday, which happens to be adjacent to Sukkot, as opposed to Pesach, where the first and the seventh day of Pesach itself are Yom Tov. And therefore, another potential interpretation would have been Mimacharat HaShabbat. Shabbat means Shabbat, therefore Mimacharat HaShabbat means Sunday. Context means Pesach, but not like the Baitusim. Rather, what it means is the Shabbat after, like the example I gave from vacation before. Right, if I say Pesach ends on Wednesday, and I ask you, when does Zben Hazmanim end, and you say after Shabbos, everyone knows it means after the Shabbos, after Pesach. Meaning the Sunday after Pesach. So let's go through the what do you think drove the particular interpretation of the Baitusim that it's the Sunday of Pesach rather than the Sunday after Pesach? What drives them? What do you think? So let's go through possibilities, okay? There were some Karaites who thought that the Omer is clearly connected to Pesach, and therefore they thought that the Omer has to be brought
on Pesach.
Right? Meaning they take it a step farther. We know that Mimacharat HaShabbat has something to do with Pesach. They said
It has to be on Pesach.
That's what drives that conviction. However, did the Shomronim believe this?
No.
No, the Shomronim didn't. They thought that this is a very nuanced thing. Some of the Karaites thought that the bringing of the Omer had to be on Pesach, and therefore you always brought it on the Shabbat, the Sunday after the Shabbat of Pesach. But what would happen if the seventh day were Shabbat? Which means that the first day was what day? Sunday. What day would some of the Karaites say to bring it? Sunday. The first Sunday, the 15th. Because they thought it had to be on Pesach. What did the Baitusim think? If Pesach started on Sunday, then what day would they bring it? On the 15th or the 22nd?
The 22nd.
Why?
Because
Because they thought it was the day after the Shabbat, and they don't think the Omer has to be brought on Pesach. What do they think? The Omer has to be brought after the Shabbat of Pesach. So some of the correct. So the Karaites thought that if the first day is Sunday, you bring it on the 15th, meaning the first Sunday of the Sunday of Pesach. The Baitusim think it's the Sunday after the Shabbat of Pesach, and therefore the bringing of the Omer itself doesn't have to be on Sunday. Have to be on Pesach. It's just the Shabbat that you build off of has to be on Pesach. The day after the sun, the Shabbat, they think it's the Sunday of Pesach, which could theoretically be the first day. Because for them, part of their exegetical drive was that the Omer has to be brought on Pesach. What day of Pesach? Sunday. The Baitusim said, no, it's brought after the Shabbat of Pesach, which means that most of the time it's brought on Pesach, with one exception. Okay, very simple. The Karaites think that the Omer must always be brought on Pesach. What day?
Sunday.
So 6 times out of 7, that means that the Shabbat and Sunday in question are Pesach itself. If Yom Tov starts on Shabbat, so then you bring it on day 2, which is the second day of Pesach and Sunday. If the holiday starts on Friday, so you bring it on the 3rd day of Pesach. On Thursday, you bring in the 4th day of Pesach. Wednesday, you bring in the Sunday. But what happens if Pesach starts on Sunday? So there is no... So then, is the next Sunday Pesach?
No.
No, because how many days of Pesach are there in the Torah?
7.
7. Which means that if Pesach starts on Sunday, the next Sunday is already after Pesach. So the Karaites say you bring it on the first day. Because it's Mimachar HaShabbat means the Sunday of Pesach, whenever that is. The Baitusim say no. It's the... So 6 times out of 7 they'll agree. The only time they disagree is if Pesach starts on Sunday, the Karaites would bring it on the first day of Pesach, and the Baitusim would bring it on Isruchag. Because they think that it's the Shabbat that has to be Pesach, not the actual bringing of the Omer.
Although, we're talking about the Talmud Bavli, where this is all happening in the Chutz La'aretz anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, no, we're talking about the Mishnah. Mishnah's not itself.
Oh, this is the Mishnah, fine.
Okay, now, let's quickly go through. I'm just taking this from Al HaTorah, because Al HaTorah is an excellent 40-page piece on this. Okay? You can look it up if you want, but it's a great website. So, again, what drives their exegetical approach? The first is that HaShabbat, almost always in the Torah, what does Shabbat mean?
Shabbat.
Meaning, this would be one of the only times where Shabbat doesn't mean Shabbat if it meant Yom Tov, which is one of the main reasons why they think that the issue here is
Shabbat.
You might say, well, wait a second, like Rashi says, but how do you know that it's the Shabbat in Pesach? What's their answer? Why do they say that it's either the Sunday of Pesach or the Sunday after Pesach?
Because it's connected to
Because
Pesach.
The context, just like Chazal, clearly it follows Pesukim about Pesach. The Karaites say that there's another benefit. Okay? And this is something I want you to think about. What date is Shavuot in the Torah? According to the Torah, what is the calendrical date of Shavuot?
The 50th day after the beginning of Sfirat HaOmer.
Correct. The 50th day after you begin Sfirat HaOmer. So the Karaites and maybe Baitusim also said, but wait a second. According to Chazal, Shavuot has a very set date. It's either the 5th, 6th, or 7th of... Very set. 5th, 6th, or 7th. But they said... But wait a second. If Shavuot is simply 50 days after whenever Sunday happens to fall out, that's why there's no date, because it has a range of 7. Now, of course, you could always respond for Chazal, We also agree there's no date. There are three possibilities. Very good. But what's the big disadvantage to their approach? Let's talk about disadvantages before we actually see it in Chazal. What are the disadvantages of saying that Mimacharei Shabbat means Sunday? Logically, come on. Logically, what's the problem with saying it's Sunday?
Why Sunday?
Yeah, exactly. That was not, it's not complicated, right? Which is, I don't understand. What? Why Sunday? You want to tell me it starts after the first day of Pesach, and it's a holiday that's connected to Pesach. In the Parsha that's talking about Pesach. So I get it. But why magically Sunday? Why Sunday? So, why might it be Sunday? So as we'll see, there's a little bit of this in the Gemara. But in Megillah Ta'anit, we have a Karaite tell the rabbis, I know why Sunday. You know what it is? And we'll see it in the Gemara as well. A version of this, which is, he had a good Svara. What is it? Has anyone ever been here for Shavuot, in Israel for Shavuot?
Yeah.
No.
What's the biggest problem with Shavuot in Israel?
Keeping 2 days.
No. Punkt verkehrt. What's the biggest problem with Shavuot? In Israel, Shavuot is over like this. You stay up all night, or whatever you do, you go to sleep, and the day is over, and you move on.
And then you just...
No, you don't!
For one day, people, I
understand. No! Eretz Israel is one day. The fact that you are a weird hybrid is not my problem. Okay? My point is that fundamentally, how many days of Shavuot are there in Eretz Israel?
One.
What's the problem? It's over like that. Baitusi says, I'll give you a good svara why it's Sunday. Because the one time of year that I miss 2 day yontif is Shavuot. Because the first day of Shavuot I'm exhausted. The second day of Shavuot feels like a normal yontif. So you know what he said to him? It's very simple. God wanted you to have a 2 day rest. Sure, you're right. Shavuot's too short. So why is it always on Sunday?
So it's right after
so
Shabbat.
So that you always have Shabbat. Does anyone ever notice that the most popular, the best Shavuot, in always, the best learning of Shavuot is always? When it's Motzei Shabbos. When Shavuot is Sunday, everyone takes a nice long Shabbos nap, and then shows up for shul and learns all night because they're awake. So the Baitusi said, that's why it's always Sunday. So that it'll always come after Shabbos.
They always start counting on Sunday.
And that's why it's Sunday. That's his logic.
So the 50th day is...
Salmon ben Yerucham the Karaite gave a different suggestion. And he said, the reason it was on Sunday is to make sure it would never be on Shabbat, because he thought that bringing the Karbanot on Shabbat was Chilul Shabbat. So Mimacharei Shabbat means make sure to bring it not on Shabbat. Now, there's another thing you have to know, which the pasuk in Yehoshua tells us as follows. In Perek Hey of Yehoshua, you have the following: Ve'achlu me'avur ha'aretz mimacharat ha'pesach matzot ve'kaluy ve'etzem hayom hazeh. On the day after Pesach, they brought they ate the produce of parched corn, etc. And in Yehoshua, when talking about seemingly the Omer, used the phrase Mimacharei Pesach. What's the problem? What day is Pesach in Chomesh?
The 15th of Nisan.
Wrong. This is what you have to know. According to Chumash, what day is Pesach? Chag HaPesach in Chumash is? The 14th day, thank you. The 14th day, when you shech the carbon Pesach. What is the 15th of Nisan called? Chag HaMatzot. Right? Chag HaMatzot. Chag HaPesach refers to the 14th. So, the Karaites said the benefit of us saying that it's always the first Sunday of Pesach, even if the first Sunday of Pesach is Tetvav Nisan, is that we interpret the pasuk in Yehoshua as saying what?
after
that. On that year, Pesach started on a Sunday. So when did they bring the Omer?
That Sunday.
That Sunday, which was Mimacharata Pesach, the day after the 14th, also known as the first day of Chag HaMatzot, or what we call the first day of Pesach. But Tanakh would call the day after Chag HaPesach, or the first day of Chag HaMatzot. So they said that the advantage of saying that it's the first Sunday is that we can interpret the Pasuk in Yoshua. So how did the Shomronim deal with this problem? The Samaritans, how did they deal with this? Because they hold like the Baitusim that it's the day after Pesach. How do they interpret this? They don't. Yoshua is not part of the Samaritan Tanakh. Very easy. It's very easy. They don't have to worry about it. It's like asking me how I'm a Yashiv in the New Testament. I'm not. I don't hold of it. Okay. So that is good. The Qumran, in Qumran, and I won't make you try to read Qumran, but in the Qumran scrolls, so remember, those are the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? Meaning found at Qumran. So they have an interpretation that it's the day following the first Shabbos after Chag HaMatzot, the example I gave from vacation. Right? So now, so far, we have two possibilities. One is that it's the Sunday in Pesach. That's the Karaites. The Baitusim say it's what? The Sunday after the Shabbat of Pesach. The only nafkamina between them is if Pesach starts on
Sunday.
Where according to the Karaites you bring it on day one, and according to the Baitusim you bring it on
Ishruchag,
or Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galiot, as it were. Okay. According to the Qumran, they say Mimacharat Shabbat is after the Shabbos after the end of Pesach. So again, according to them, how do they understand the word Shabbat?
As
Shabbat. This wasn't hard. Shabbat. How do they know that it's related to Pesach?
Because it's in context.
Because it's in context of Pesach. Why do they think it should be the day after Pesach? So this I don't expect you to know, but it's very simple. The reason is as follows. How many days are in the Dead Sea Scroll sex calendar? I do not expect you to know this at all. How many days do they have in their calendar? Daniel, take a guess.
287.
364. What's important about the number 364?
It's one off from the solar calendar.
Yeah, but what else is important about it? What's it divisible by?
By
7, which means they don't have a rotating calendar. Everything always falls on the exact same
day
of the week. Right? The only reason that our calendar moves is because it's not divisible by 7. But the Qumran calendar was divisible by 7.
Everything's always the same day of the week.
Exactly. So according to them, it's very simple. There is no different possibilities. It was always the exact same time. So Shavuot always fell on what day?
Shabbat.
Always fell on Sunday. Which Sunday? Sunday, the 15th of Sivan. That's how it falls out. Okay? I did not expect you to know that. They will just have to understand the Pasuk in Yeshua. It's not talking about the Omer. It's talking about something else. And they don't really explain why Sunday. We'll have to talk about it for other reasons. That's possibility 3 that we're rejecting. Possibility 4, and this is from Mashwi al-Akabari Hakarai. This is another Karaite. Remember, the Karaites have different interpretations. And also from the Savoyim sect of the Karaites. Sorry. Of the Samaritans. They have another possibility. And what is their possibility? Second. Here we go. So they think that Mimacharat HaShabbat, they have another interpretation. They says it's very simple. You're getting all wrapped up on this because you think that the Omer has to be brought when? Something to do with Pesach. They said we have a very easy solution. What is it? Does it ever say in the Psukim that the Omer is brought on Pesach?
No.
No. When does it say the Omer is brought? No. Yes. But what else does it say? It gives you one other clue.
Tomorrow.
And one more clue. Me'achel chermesh bakama. What does that mean?
From the beginning of the...
When you start harvesting. So they said, you missed it. You know when it is? The first Sunday of what? The harvest season. Stop. It's very simple. You know why it's on an arbitrary day of the week?
Because
it's not connected to Pesach and it's not connected to any date. This is an agricultural holiday and celebration. So once the once you start harvesting on the first Sunday after the harvest starts, so you bring a special carbon, and 7 weeks later, you celebrate a holiday which is celebrating agriculture. So it has nothing to do with Pesach. And they said that's why this is not in the same parasha of Pesach. It's near Pesach, but it's not the same time. And they said, don't focus on the Mi'acharat Shabbat. Remember the pasuk of Tispar Lecha Me'achel Chermesh Bakama. Focus on the emphasis of when you start harvesting. Now, according to them, why does it make sense to start on a Sunday? Because why not? This has nothing to do with Pesach. The same way we say that every legal holiday is on a Monday, and except for Thanksgiving, which is on a Thursday, we do it to make a long weekend. Okay, so here we do it on a Sunday. I don't know, at the beginning of the week. I don't know.
Well, this is, they say Chag HaPesach or the...
No, it's when you, whenever you harvest.
Okay.
When the harvest season starts, the Sunday after that.
Okay.
Right? It's very simple.
There's nothing to do with Pesach.
Correct. And therefore they said, don't get too... Why do we pick a day of the week? Because we pick a day of the week of a rotating agricultural possibility. And therefore, is there a date for Pesach? For the Omer to start?
No.
No, and now, according to them, why is there no date for Shavuot? Not because there's a 3-day possibility, and not because there's a 7-day possibility, but because it could be any time. Whenever you start harvesting, make a holiday seven weeks after that Sunday.
But... Yeah, you know, different people can start harvesting on different days.
Yep, me'achos. And therefore, how will they read the pasuk in Yoshua? Maybe they'll say it. Maybe in that year it happened to be that when did they start harvesting? Before Pesach. So then it overlapped, but you didn't have to. Now they don't explain why Sunday, but it could be some of the things we talked about before. Okay, so those are all the positions that. Let's get one more before we do Chazal, and tomorrow we'll focus on Chazal, okay? After we've seen all those, there is one more. And this is found in the Pshit... No, I take it back. There are two more. Okay, let's do one more, and we'll do Chazal tomorrow. This is found in the Pshita, and it's the tradition of some Ethiopian Jews. And they say it is... Well, they agree with Chazal that Mimacharat HaShabbat means Yom Tov. Except, they disagree with Chazal's interpretation that it's the first day of Yom Tov. They think it's...
The last day.
The day after Pesach is over. You know what? Let's hold this for tomorrow. Because now we're starting to see people who... What we've seen today are basically all the different variations of people who said that Shabbat means Sunday. And then we saw three possibilities. The Sunday of Pesach, the Sunday after the Shabbat of Pesach, or the first Sunday of the agriculture, of the new agriculture. What we're going to see tomorrow is that Chazal go in the direction that Shabbat means Pesach, means Yom Tov. The majority view in Chazal is that it's the day after the first day of Pesach, meaning the 16th. But as we'll talk about a little bit more tomorrow, is the tradition of some Ethiopian Jews and the Pshita, that it's the day after the last day of Yom Tov, which maintains Chazal's interpretation that Shabbat means Yom Tov, but digresses from Chazal on which Yom Tov we're talking about. So tomorrow, read the Gemara, because now that we've seen the possibilities Chazal are rejecting, right, due from the Mishnah on Samech Hayam and Aleph, through the Gemara on Samech Hayam and Beis, where the Gemara goes through its 8 proofs, to explain the rabbinic position, which is no. It means the first day of Yom Tov, okay? So that's what we'll do tomorrow. Okay?
Shkoyach.